Hi, I'm Paul Camillos, and welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Join me and the STB crew for Series 8. Just hit that subscribe button, and if you enjoy the pod, share it and give it a like.
I've been really impressed with, like you said, the sort of leadership group that we have here and how they go about their business on the daily. From the jump, I remember being at our team's sort of team barbecue, and we had staff there, and they talked about how joy is really important to this club, and playing with joy and sort of leading from the heart in that way. And again, it's easy to, you know, speak about culture and speak about, you know, things that you can pop up on a wall, but I think they really live that out.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Joining me today, it's our New Zealand experts, because we're actually talking to Hannah Hank, who's coming to us live from New Zealand. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Kangaroos and a little bit about Geelong from last season. But also, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about what's happening in New Zealand and across the Tauihi League. First of all, Hannah, welcome to the show. Lyndon, Maya, great to have you back.
Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
All right. First of all, Hannah, it's great to have you here. The first question I want to ask you about is last season you played in the WNBL for Geelong. First up, how was that for you?
Oh, I think definitely pretty special to be part of the inaugural team in Geelong. I think it's always cool when you get to be a tone setter and, yeah, start something fresh. But, yeah, really good experience, learn a lot, and think we came a long way as a team for sure.
Now, after Clemson, you played in Germany for TK Hanover before you went to Geelong. How did you find the difference between Germany and Geelong in Chris Lucas's style?
Yeah, I think wherever you play, there's a different style, and across different leagues, you'll find different little nuances and things like that. I'd say going back to Australian basketball, we play really like fast, up-tempo style game. And not to say that it wasn't fast in Europe, in Germany, but I think, yeah, in Australia, it's pretty up-tempo. And I think differences in Europe, there's a lot of emphasis on things like spacing and making sure we're all positioned and very strategic about how we're attacking an opponent. But yeah, I think you'd learn different things in both spaces. So grateful to have played over there and then come back home to Australia and had a crack there.
Okay. And I want to talk about the Kangaroos in a second, but I also wanted to find out, what was it like at Clemson?
Oh, I had a really, really great experience. I think college is tough for everyone, just with the workload and yeah, you're definitely challenged. But I had great coaches that really invested in me as a player on the court and off the court. And I really enjoyed my studies, made some awesome friends there that I still am in touch with. So, yeah, I definitely walk away from that super thankful that I got the opportunity to go there for sure.
And what were you studying? Just out of curiosity.
I was an English major and I minored in communications.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Also, you know, Kangaroos, 3x3, you know, you've played both styles of game. How do you find playing both styles? Do you find that there's strategies and tactics you can bring from one to the other?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of crossover, and yeah, I've definitely seen like a bleed or a flow-on effect from getting a chance to play in the 3x3 space, and I think that really challenging, you know, things like your foot speed, you got to be able to switch and guard perimeter players, guards, people that are smaller than you, to then making sure you're a threat, and you know, there's no way you can hide on a 3x3 court, so there's only three of you out there to get after it. So I think, yeah, it's been awesome for, I think, getting me to step up and to grow as a player. And we've got an awesome crew of people on that team, coaches down to players, vets that really welcomed me into that team. So it's been great fun. And yeah, I've really loved playing 3x3 and yeah, keen for more.
Keen for more. Well, I mean, yeah. you got a bronze at the FIBA Champions Cup. I suppose you're looking for that silver or gold, maybe?
Yeah, I think the gang is definitely keen to continue to chase that. So I think we're all just waiting to hear what the word is for the upcoming season and what that will look like.
Okay. We had Hannah Lowe as a recent guest on the pod.
And yes.
She actually said, and she was quite happy to have us quote her on this. She said, you know, Hannah's a really, she said that you're a really exciting young talent, both in 3x3 and the five-man game as well, in her opinion. But she also classifies you as an A-grade person.
Well, I'd say Uno reverse. Hannah's awesome. And yeah, she's been great, I think, in helping me develop. So, and she's, yeah, top-notch person to be around on any team, whether it was playing like WNBL with her in Geelong on the staff. And then, yeah, it was awesome getting to work with her again in 3x3.
Okay. So, look, I'm going to hand over to Lyndon and Maya so we can get into what's happening in Tauihi and what's happening across the league and talk about your game there.
No worries.
Okay. Awesome. Well, once again, great to have you on, Hannah. And yeah, just really excited to get to chat to you and thanks for coming on. There is so much to unpack here. But first of all, I just wanted to say everything I've also heard about you is that you are a top right person in NRC's league, and also your performances on the court and what you've been doing for the FI has just been phenomenal. So firstly, congrats on the spectacular win last round, 83-81. Insane. I think this game will live in people's minds for a very long time. So how was it being on the floor in such a closely fought game?
Yeah, I would say intense, but a lot of fun. I think we're two teams that love to, I said in the pre-game little interview, we're two teams that love to play in transition and play fast, and that really leans into our strengths. But yeah, I think it was a game of controlling that momentum and being able to control that pace and not be sped up to an extent where it was detrimental to our performance. And I think, yeah, we managed that and ended up coming up on top thanks to Emmy's clutch shot and that dime of a pass from Jess. So no, I'm really proud of our group and yeah, I think how we continue to pull forwards and pull together. And yeah, I'm excited for what's to come for the team.
Yeah, that was a great kind of, I started tuning out a little bit, I think, as you guys pulled away, just because it seemed like you were going to continue on that trajectory. But they really made it exciting, which I, you know, you quite enjoy that. Yeah. And then that little dart three, that was, sorry, you go.
No, I cut you off. I was just going to say that was a nice three ball and a lot of respect for their team. Yeah, they don't quit and they're a gritty team. So hats off to them for, yeah, making it a game for sure.
Totally. And I think something I really liked about this matchup and all of the FI games so far, and you in particular, is how physical you guys have been. And I love watching you because you're just a bully and no one can handle it. And I love that. How have you found that physicality of Tauihi? Because a lot of people do describe Tauihi as quite a physical league in comparison to some around the world. So is it more than what you're used to, or is it something you're enjoying? Like, do you want to just talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it is a physical league, definitely. I wouldn't say it's something that I haven't experienced coming from 3x3 and, even Europe with some really big bodies over there. Players over here definitely physical in the paint and off the ball and all that good stuff. But I think that makes it fun and, you know, I love to compete and, yeah, I think it brings out the best in me, honestly, to go up against really tough opponents and be challenged. So I think that just makes you work hard. And I also think it's been a space of growth in my game that I've been really intentional about this season, of just being also able to slow myself down, whether that's coming to 2 feet and, you know, playing with a bit more finesse, playing out of a pivot or finding the open player on the perimeter. And yeah, just being able to slow the game down and make those reads, make those decisions in the moment. So I think, yeah, it's good fun. And I think it makes you step up to make the right reads versus just going all the way through the contact, which maybe I would have done earlier in my career.
Yeah, I mean, especially this is the fourth season seeing the step up in play every year. And it just seems like this year, and we've said this in previous pods, Maya, just this competition is on another level. And that means also the physicality is on another level because of the level of people who are coming in, which is great for both the Kiwis and the imports. And it's really promising to see. And honestly, you know, we were talking in the last pod that you never know who's going to pull away and who's going to end up winning these games. And honestly, walking in, there's some of them where it's like we literally don't know who's going to win. But that speaks to the level and the physicality and all the skills that you really got to have if you're coming in to the league. Now, you mentioned definitely something earlier, you wanted to, you know, strengthen some of these skills that you just mentioned. And the FI are known for having a system, and even though this is the first year under a new head coach, it seems like they kept that same kind of brand of basketball. So what about the FI system allowed you to thrive so much this year?
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, point like you were saying about the league, like I've been super impressed and I think it's been a lot of fun to compete. And like you said, you know, every game's anybody's game. It's just who, which team really shows up on the day and ends up on top. But yeah, to speak to the Fi, I think, you know, you talk about a system, but I think that's also the leadership and the people that are putting that forward. And I have a lot of respect for our coaching staff, Tane and Sunny. Even from my initial conversation with Tane on the phone, I think I trusted his authenticity in that he had said, you know, I'm going to be flexible and adapt to when you arrive. I want this to be a collaborative space. And, you know, it's easy to say that on the phone when you're recruiting players, but to, you know, live out your word and really, yeah, I think I've been super impressed with how Tane's, you know, given everybody space to grow in their role, given them opportunities to expand. And yeah, I think he's done a great job of also, like I said, sort of open door policy of being able to go in there and have a conversation. Hey, this is working. Hey, I'm struggling with this. And have that be, you know, a space where we're working together towards, you know, a common goal, whether that's individually with growth as a player or whether that's as a unit and how we're navigating where we're at with one game or where we're at in the season right now. But yeah, I think just our leadership and yeah, they've got great basketball IQ. You know, even Sunny, for example, this weekend we had an away game. We got done with team dinner and that, and we're sitting there watching an NBL game. He's taking the time to, you know, talk to me about what are they doing in this, you know, scenario at the end of the game? What's their strategic approach to win? And so I think, you know, that speaks to, you know, him as well, taking the time to work with players, you know, that didn't directly impact our next game, but they really invest in everyone here and trying to help people grow. And I think that's awesome. And when people are working hard for you and they're showing up, you know, passionate about their work, it makes it, you know, you want to do the same and buy in. And so, yeah, I'm just grateful to be working with awesome leaders. And I think I'm, like I said earlier, I'm just really excited for this team and to continue just pushing forward. Yeah.
Yeah, love to see it. Obviously, I've heard great reviews about both Tane and Sunny and their coaching and them as people as well. And I think something that the Fi, yeah, and I think something the Fi do really well is they also recruit great people. I mean, everyone seems like a top tier person. Obviously, we know you're an A-grade person. Everyone's been saying it. I just wanted to ask a bit about that. Yeah, great job. I want to ask a little bit about that leadership because obviously Lena Snyder's back in her second season. McDowell White runs the ship. Obviously, you're a great leader. And then MC's a long-time Fi player now. So kind of how does that leadership structure work in your team? And yeah, how's that been for you?
I think really influential. I've been really impressed with, like you said, the sort of leadership group that we have here and how they go about their business on the daily. From the jump, I remember being at our team's sort of team barbecue and we had staff there and they talked about how joy is really important to this club and playing with joy and sort of leading from the heart in that way. And again, it's easy to, you know, speak about culture and speak about, you know, things that you can pop up on a wall. But I think they really live that out and that, you know, speaks to the leadership of the players here and, you know, reminding all of us of that when, you know, it's not always easy to show up some days and, you know, whether it's after a loss or whatever the circumstances. But I think they do a great job of, making that a priority and lifting all of us up because, you know, it's in a season there's going to be ebbs and flows. And, you know, I think those leaders do a great job of picking everyone up and making sure that we're all in it together and supporting one another. And, yeah, I think that's testament to, you know, how we've found success so far of just, yeah, like I've been reiterating, I think just operating as a unit and that togetherness has been really special.
Yeah. I think just, you know, you're also saying, we said earlier, Lena has come back. MC is a Tauihi veteran with the Fi. And yeah, both Tane and Sunny, they've got experience within the coaching ranks in Tauihi. And so there's a lot of that that comes in. And so you also mentioned earlier, on a similar parallel that, you know, the way that the Fi make people feel valued and that you felt, you know, pretty reassured from the jump when you spoke with Tane initially. But would love to know, because, you know, we're seeing more and more Aussies come over to this league. What drew you to Tauihi and I guess off of that Tauranga?
I would say after playing in the WNBL, I was really keen to play overseas basketball. And so when my agent came to me with the opportunity that had popped up here with the FI, it was really exciting to me. I'm someone who continues to want to challenge myself. And I think you get to do that when you go to a different league, to a different space and, you know, different opponents, different style of play. And so, yeah, that was really appealing to me to continue to, yeah, grow as a player. And I felt like this would be a great fit for me to come here and be a part of this team and get after it with the girls. And yeah, it's been great fun. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far.
How have you actually enjoyed just New Zealand and Tauranga in general? Have you been to New Zealand before?
Yeah, I came for like 4 days when I was a kid to watch my brother play a basketball tournament.
Nice.
But can't remember much of it other than probably a basketball court here and there. So yeah, this was really my first taste of New Zealand, and I have to say it is absolutely unreal. It is awesome. I just actually stayed a night down there, went down to Milford Sound. Oh my God, like, out of this world. I was like, this is crazy. Even here, you go an hour down the road, there's a beautiful waterfall, or, you know, like there's just something to see on every corner, I think. And it's absolutely a beautiful country and great people that are super welcoming. Yeah, honestly, can't say enough good stuff about New Zealand.
That's great to hear from an Aussie. We love it.
Yeah. No, it's so beautiful. No, it's unreal. Yeah. And yeah, I'm definitely still on the high of seeing, yeah, the scenes from this weekend. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, eh?
Definitely.
I just wanted to ask something, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners who don't know the area that you're playing in. So
yes.
Can you just give us a little bit of a rundown of the town and the region and what it's like and Just so people can understand, you know, you've gone from Geelong to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do I just... Oh, I wish... I feel like everyone should come and check it out. They've got a beautiful beach. They've got a massive mount right there. Incredible. You can... Yeah, I think it's very... I'm trying to, yeah, describe the place for you guys. But I think once you immerse yourself in it, you can really get a feel for the cruisy lifestyle. You know, everyone's sort of gone about their day, but I think really present in the place that they are. And I think it's easy to do that when, you know, you've got the beach right on your doorstep, you've got, you know, the mount that you can go and have a climb up, and you feel like you're on the top of the world up there. So yeah, I think, yeah, different scenery from back in Geelong. Not that Geelong isn't a beautiful place to live.
Is it like comparatively size-wise, is it bigger than Geelong, smaller than Geelong, about the same size?
I would say maybe Geelong's a bit more condensed in the city, but you still have the water there and great like lifestyle there. But yeah, over here it's, I would say more, I've heard it described as the mini Gold Coast. I'm not sure if that's synonymous with like Kiwi locals, but that's how I was told. But yeah, I'd say it's a more cruisy version of the Gold Coast with a more relaxed lifestyle. Maybe next tourism advocate, me. It's awesome. Come check it out.
Nailed it.
Say no more. It is a wonderful place though, and I feel like it's definitely one of those that if you have, I'll say this too because I'm not from New Zealand, like, but having gone there multiple times when I lived there, it's just a good vibe. And like you said, Hannah, like it's quite cruisy, but
exactly.
They're all just very, I mean, like I've yet to have really a poor experience anywhere in New Zealand with people because everyone's just so lovely and nice. Yeah, like, and it just seems like the brand of basketball and the brand that the FI want to build of like, just, you know, you want to have joy when you play, you want to have joy, you know, just kind of in life. Like that's the perfect epicenter for that.
Definitely, definitely. I think I've spoken a lot to the location and trying to describe it. But yeah, I think that factor of people is what makes this place, you know, like I think I've spoken to how welcoming and yeah this club has been, and I think that's synonymous with the location for me of yeah just being a space where people welcome you in and want you to invite you to, you know, learn about their culture and learn about the place, learn about what, you know, what makes it special here. And I'm grateful that I landed here and got to yeah experience it with this crew, because we really do have an awesome team.
And Mount Maunganui, being able to get up and like train and go to the mount, even if it's just like around the beach, I mean, that's a pretty sick way to wind down or, you know, start your day. And also you do feel like you're on top of the world when you get up there.
Definitely.
So you've landed here. So you've landed in New Zealand, but and Paul mentioned this before, but starting in, you know, you played in Germany, you all played at Clemson. So just going back, mm-hmm. what was the, you know, that decision to Clemson, because that decision to play college basketball is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
How did you kind of come upon that, you know, this is something that I want to do, and, you know, why there?
Yeah. I think coming to making the decision to wanting to go over there, I was 14 when I knew I wanted to go over to play college ball and I wanted to play pro ball overseas and play for Oz. So I think I was pretty determined from a young age, and I was really working towards those goals. And then I think Clemson was a great fit for me from the basketball perspective, but just wanting to be challenged. I knew I wanted to play in the ACC. It's one of the best conferences, athletic, fast basketball, but great competition. So I knew that if I went there, I was going to be pushed and I was going to be challenged. And I knew that meant that I was going to get better. And so, yeah, that was a place I wanted to put myself in. And yeah, Clemson, awesome school. I think it resonated with me as well because I was from a country coastal town. And when I went on my visit to Clemson, they've got the lake there and sort of reminded me a little bit of home. And again, great people there that really welcomed me and made it feel like home. So yeah, it was just I think it was something I knew I was working towards for a long time. And when I went to Clemson and I met the team, I met the staff, I knew that that was the place for me to be at. And yeah, it was a ride those 4 years, but I would never not go back and do it again. Yeah, it was awesome. It was tough, but it was awesome.
That's so cool. It's so cool to see you just stuck out a four-year collegiate career. I think transfer portal was definitely becoming more and more popular, but it's great to see that you just had a four-year career and that you just enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. Got some awesome connections with teammates and still my coaches from Clemson. So I think they definitely have instilled a lot of things in me that have stuck with me. And yeah, I still, you know, lean into, whether it's things like AB, my head coach, she would talk about gratitude. We would start our practices with that, or our team sessions every day, and you jot down your gratitude. And I think lead with that sort of joy into the how you went about your craft. And yeah, I think there's some parallels to now with the Fire, with how they go about their work, that I think, yeah, it's really cool for me to sort of tap back into.
Yeah, nice. That's really cool to hear. Looking back on when you started at Clemson to where you are now, you've been through a lot, you know, WNBL, NBL1, Kangaroos, and now you're in Germany and now you're in New Zealand. What would you say are some of the biggest growth areas that you've kind of, yeah, I guess, as a player and as a person as well?
Yeah, great question.
Oh, thanks. Sorry about the curveball.
No, I think it's a good one. Okay. Yeah, in college, definitely. It was really, I would say, transformative for me. I think prior to getting to Clemson, basketball, I was really grinding. I was working really hard to get there. And I think when I got to Clemson, I finally started to understand and learn. Not that I didn't have an element of that, but I think I was very determined and I sort of was able to sort of let my shoulders come down a little bit and relax my jaw a little bit and just enjoy also what I was doing and the people I was sharing it with, and yeah, sort of getting to explore things off the court with my studies that I'm really starting to be able to tap into now. So yeah, I think Clemson was awesome for me. On the court, I definitely got better, but I think off the court with, yeah, just growing as a person and sort of opening my eyes a little bit was pretty influential for sure. And then I'd say out of finishing up at graduating and then sort of my first 2 years playing pro was full on. And like you said, sort of jumped around a little bit around checking out different locations. So that was a lot of fun. But also I think that first year overseas in Europe was really tough. And yeah, it definitely pushed me. I saw the prompt that you'd put for asking about Europe and what that experience was like. And I think I've shied away a lot from talking about what it was like, what it was really like. But I would want to be honest and just say, yeah, it was pretty hectic. But I think having that experience that first year and really being challenged and struggling was really helpful for me in the end, even though in the moment it doesn't feel helpful. It's like, why is this happening? But I think everyone has that you know, has those seasons in their career and for factors on the court and things that were going on in my personal life. Sort of that year, my first year as a pro, I remember being on the phone with my folks and saying, like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it might be time for me to, like, go get a real job. Like, I don't know if this is going to work out. Like, I'd come back from Germany and I had turned down a WNBL offer out of college to go overseas because I wanted that experience. And so I felt like maybe I've missed the boat, like, and I've screwed it up, and I kept working and pushing. And then an opportunity opened up in Geelong and I got a foot in the door. And I think now people look at my second year as a pro and I played WNBL. I got on the Kangaroos squad and this and that, but it was only the year beforehand that I was thinking, like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And so I'd just say to people, yes, a lot of the time when you're right on the cusp of a lot of your goals and what you're working towards, it'll be probably the moment when you're the closest to quitting you've been. But I'd say, yeah, just hang on. And yeah, this past year has been unreal. And now here I am in New Zealand getting another taste of another part of the globe I probably wouldn't have otherwise seen and, you know, met these kinds of people that I've been able to work with. So yeah, it's been an awesome ride and it's been hard, but it's been, I think, really fun as well.
How many of the lessons that you learnt from Europe and from college that you were able to take into Geelong? I mean, you know, it was a brand new team. Everything had to be built from scratch. So how much of that were you able to contribute to the team and the growth of the team across that first season?
Yeah, I think Clemson was really, really helped shape me into the person I was off the court with that growth that I spoke on. But yeah, I think getting the transfer across to Geelong, I think when I was at Clemson, like I said, I'd worked really hard to get there. And so as athletes, we get really probably like tunnel visioned in that sense of, but I think when I got to Clemson, it was like, I really started to understand it was so much bigger than me. And there was, you know, I could have so much impact on other people if I was intentional about making sure I made a point of it. And so I think that was really, yeah, really transformative for me. So that I think I carried that on and took that with me. When I got to Geelong, I knew, hey, we've got an inaugural team here. And even going into the NBL one season, we were really, yeah, I think passionate, all of us, about getting amongst the community, getting to know the girls and the boys that were coming to watch us play and, you know, took it seriously that when we got a chance to play, we were also having a chance to impact all those kids that were coming out to watch us play. And so I think it's pretty special, yeah, what we get to do as athletes. So I think I did have a bit of carryover there.
And, you know, that first season, I'm kind of curious from the inside, what's it like being a player at a team that has just been stood up and is building a legacy? I mean, you're part of the inaugural legacy of Geelong. So, you know, how does that feel?
Yeah, I think I probably, when you put it like that, you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty epic. I'm thankful that, you know, Chris Lucas gave me, you know, another go. He said, yeah, come and have another crack with us. So after I initially said, no, I'm going to go to Germany, I first came out of college. So yeah, I think I'm really thankful that I got to be part of that. And for the crew that we had, I think we had good fun. And yeah, like I said, got to know the people that were coming out and watching us play. And I think that's really, it's that community, it's those ties that now, when I've left that environment, you know, and you still keep in touch with those people, I think that's the stuff right there.
Okay. And I just also wanted to touch on She Hoops. You know, you've broadened your experience through She Hoops. So can you fill us in more about what you've done with She Hoops, what you've been involved with, and also let people know about your creative artwork?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, She Hoops does some awesome work in Australia. They provide programs and resources, camps that really, I think, empower young girls, whether it's at the grassroots level to the elite, in, yeah, using, I think, basketball as an avenue to impact their lives. And yeah, I've been super lucky to have been brought on board and I get to work with them. I've worked a couple camps. I'm also enrolled currently in one of their leadership programs, so I can speak to how great the resources that they have to tap into, the connections that they have. I've listened to Ezzy Magmador, like, we've had some awesome speakers come on, and that's been awesome to learn from them. And yeah, I think on the creative side of things, it's been super fun to, I think, be able to do some of the stuff that I learned in college and put it into a professional setting and see that work play out into avenues that I'm really passionate about. I got to have some artwork at the WNBL opener in Melbourne, and it was a sort of an activation space where people could collaborate and, you know, jot down who inspires them, and like seeing videos of like young girls writing down their favorite player, and or like maybe it was their mom. It didn't matter, but I think just creating those spaces and creating something that people can collaborate on in that sense is really, really cool. And so, yeah, I think I love being involved, and I hope that I can continue to, whether it's a physical space or digitally trying to promote the work that they're doing, I'm super thankful that I get to work for She Hoops, and yeah, can't say enough good stuff about them. Yeah. Hopefully we should start doing like a New Zealand collab.
That's music to my ears.
I'll talk to the big bosses.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
So, there are many sides to you, Hannah, as we've, you know, you kind of mentioned, I mean, you're a creative, you're a traveler, you are, you know, you're an athlete, but you're also resilient. And there are all these things that have, you know, built up who you are. And so I wanted to ask, so when I was doing, just getting to know you, researching you online, I saw on your website called You Are Now Hannah Hank Incorporated. I think, see if the college coach had mentioned that or something, but it was on your portfolio. And I just thought it was so cool the way that was worded, because really, you know, reflection, you are like the person itself, you are a brand. And so I'm just wondering now, how would you define Hannah Hank Incorporated, having the experiences that you have, and how has that evolved for you as you, you know, began your pro career and then, you know, being in New Zealand now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question again. You guys are killing it. That's a great question. I think in college, I was, yeah, sitting across from my head coach, Amanda Butler, and yeah, she said that to me. She was like, "You're Hannah Hank Incorporated now." And I was like, "Righto." And yeah, that sort of, we got into it and we were discussing it. And she was saying how, yes, there's you as an athlete, but there is, you know, so much more to you and, you know, what you can bring to the table, the person that you are, the, you know, the other things that you're good at, like, and that you can impact other people with. And so I think that's definitely evolved for me. Like I said, that first year out of college, my first pro year, I think maybe that got pushed to the back burner and I was sort of in the trenches there for a minute, but I think coming out the other side, and yeah, I think it's been really cool to be able to now see, you know, things like She Hoops, where there was a little while where I wasn't doing too much of that work, and then to now be able to work in those spaces and connect with people like Tess Madgen. Lauren Jackson wrote back on one of my artworks and I was like, mad, like fangirling. I was like, no way, Lauren Jackson just like commented on it. And so, yeah, I think it's been really cool to, I think, have that understanding of, you know, how it's so much bigger than basketball, and then to now be in a place where, you know, I get to live that out on the daily and, yeah, try and have an impact and, like, yeah, influence others to go about it. You know, see where basketball can take them. I'm trying to articulate it right now, but you put me on the spot. But hopefully I've done Hannah Hank Incorporated some justice there. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's been good fun, and hopefully I can continue to try and inspire others to, whether it's basketball that they're into or whatever their goal is, to get after it, to go for it, and to see what opportunities and what doors it opens up for you, because it's pretty unreal ride once you get going.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I like how you talked about, you know, there's a lot of different paths that you can take within basketball that don't actually just involve playing. Obviously, you do both excellently, which is a little bit unfair how many gifts you have. But I think it's a great point, right? Because I think a lot of young girls do aspire to become a player, but it is cool that a lot of girls are understanding now of the opportunity to take many different pathways, right? Like whether that be coaching or in media or whatever that is. I think that's a great message that you're putting out.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, hopefully I can, yeah, continue to do that. And I just say to everyone and anyone to I think I've spoken about it before. My folks have, you know, they were big on, you know, have plan A. What's plan A? And have that goal and then do whatever it takes, like make it happen. Like if you have plan B, plan C, plan D of like, what am I going to do if that doesn't work out? Then you're already planning for it to like go wrong, go all guns blazing, all gas, no brakes until you need to find that second gear maybe and learn to like take a breath and enjoy it as you're going. But yeah, I think everyone should feel like they can get after it and have a go. And like, you don't know what other doors it'll open up. You don't know what people you'll meet and, you know, that networking. And that's also gone a long way for me of, yeah, just the interactions that you get to have and also just what you get to learn from other people is, yeah, pretty cool. Because in the field of basketball, you know, we play globally. So you get to meet people from all over the world, all different walks of life. And I had this conversation with my teammate the other day. Isn't it crazy? You know, we all have these different backstories and we all get to be here right now playing together, playing on this team. And I think that's pretty special that we get to share that.
Yeah, totally. That's a great way to put it. And I think that's a great way to like, I guess, kind of talk about the business end of the Tauihi season and how, you know, this is a, like we've spoken about before, this is a really amazing season of Tauihi. Obviously, we've seen it kind of develop from its first season, but this one, I've got to say, it takes the cake for being the best one yet. How does it feel to... Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And obviously, it's we're seeing a rise of the popularity of women's sport and basketball in New Zealand, which is obviously great for us in a sport, in a country that's dominated by men's rugby. How does it feel to be, I guess, part of that kind of history, but also with a whole bunch of people that you've just met but have really connected with?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think I have a lot of, like, this league's doing an awesome job, I think, down to, like, how they're going about their business, how they're marketing it, how they're trying to get people to buy in, get involved, get around it. Yeah, I think they're doing a great job, and I think that trajectory will just continue because from the people I've met, people are really passionate about the work they're doing. And I see that here with the Fire. And I think to have the growth that the league's having, that's got to be dropping down from all the way down from the top is what I'm trying to say. And then to do it with the Fire, yeah, I think I've spoken about the people here and I think my teammates, to my staff, to everyone around the club doing a great job of, yeah, I think trying to promote women's basketball. And as it's continuing to gain momentum, I think on a global level, it's hard to not want to jump on the bandwagon, right? So hopefully we can try and get more people to, yeah, just get around it. We won't hold it against them if they're just getting involved now.
Maybe.
But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that we get to be doing this. And yeah, hopefully we get to share it with more people and get to, yeah, impact more young girls and that to also give it a crack and see where it takes them.
Yeah, I see. I agree on all those points. And it's cool to have someone like yourself who's such an ambassador for the sport, but also I think it's so important to have folks like you, especially women that girls can look up to. And, you know, spoken about earlier, it's like, you know, you can do this and you can be that. And you know what, like something that you said earlier about, you know, right when you're on the cusp of probably achieving your goal or breaking into it is when it's going to get hard. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that I don't want to do it, but hey, you know, look at Hannah, look at what she's done. And, you know, just the opportunities that have come about because of it. But to have someone like yourself who in all facets of life has really been an ambassador, it's so, and like also one of the things about Tauihi is that, you know, you can, the girls can come up to you after and, you know, you have to get talked to, get a chance to chat to you. And, you know, that relationship building aspect is just such a important part of the league. And yeah, it's just really heartening and it's just such a joy to see and to know it's attracting people like yourself to come over and do that.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I'm the product of a bunch of people, like men and women, that have poured into me. So I think it's on all of us to continue to try and pay that forward and influence the next generation. So yeah, I'm just lucky that I've met some pretty cool people along the journey, starting with my folks who, you know, said to me, you know, the world's your oyster, go get after it. So then, you know, all the way through juniors to college, you know, my position coach, Jimmy Gray Miller, my head coach, Amanda Butler, I could go on listing multiple people that have, you know, really influenced my career. But yeah, I think we're all like just benefiting from other people that have like been trailblazers in this. So yeah, I think I'm just trying to have a little crack at it too. And yeah, we'll see how we go.
So what's I mean, you know, all this stuff been going on for you, and, you know, you've had all these opportunities, which is great. You know, it's a great example to people that if you stick to something, you know, you'll get there. What's next?
I think I'm here with, like, my feet are here in the ground with the Fi, and I'm really passionate about trying to, you know, play sharp and play as hard as I can for this, for my coaches and for my teammates, because, like I've said, they're great people on and off the court. So I think that's first and foremost for me right now. And then next up, I'll be heading over to Europe again, to Poland. I'm going to head there next. And just before Christmas, I'll be off. And then, yeah, with my She Hoop stuff, just continue to try and make cool graphics that, you know, catches someone's eye, and yeah, maybe they sign up for something for She Hoops or share it and someone else sees it and, you know, they get involved. But we'll see how all that goes into the new year. Got some exciting things coming up in that space too. But yeah, I think, like I said, right now I'm just focused on being where my feet are and really enjoying the ride here with the Fi. And I think a lot of room still to grow as a unit and to keep pushing and keep coming together. And I think we're continuing to evolve. And that's something that, you know, Tane has really instilled in the team from the jump. I think even on, you know, times we've come away from a game and it didn't look so good, it didn't look like us, then we rein it back into that focus being about us and where do we want to be at today, and, you know, what does it look like tomorrow, and sort of focusing on that sort of space and that prep for that next game, and just taking it a week at a time, not looking too far ahead, but just focused on where we're at, and yeah, continuing to try and play really fun and basketball that's just Fi branded.
Just before we wrap up, I just want to go back to something that you said before.
Yeah.
So you said that Lauren Jackson wrote something on one of your pieces of artwork. So what have you done with it?
What have I done with?
Yeah, that particular piece of artwork. Like, is it framed and sitting somewhere?
Well, that one was digital. I did it on. I got it on the iPad saved, so she's up in the cloud. So hopefully, she just stays put right there. But yeah, I think I've got a little screenshot of LJ's comment on there that I was pretty happy with. Sent to my mom. My God. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely stored.
You got it. Surely you're going to print it out, frame it, and put it up on the wall somewhere.
You're right. When I have a set spot, I will do that. Currently, yeah. No, not for the moment.
Okay. Hannah, it's been great having you on the show with us. It's been great talking about, you know, a whole lot of different things and finding out about what you found interesting about New Zealand, about your backstory. And the other things that you're doing around basketball, which are really contributing to the game. So thanks so much for joining us. It's been fantastic. And obviously, you know, we're really curious to see how the rest of this season's going to pan out, because it's getting real interesting in as we get down to the pointy end. And, you know, both to you, Lyndon and Maya, it's always great having you here. Having you guys helping get the story out about what's happening in New Zealand, because there's a lot of really good stuff happening there.
Yeah.
Great place.
Wonderful place.
No, thank you so much, Hannah, for coming on. We really appreciate it. And it's been, yeah really good to kind of hear about you and your career, but just who you are as a person as well. Yeah, you're, like everyone's been saying, a top A grade person. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll say it again. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
cheers, guys. Thank you so much. Really, really thankful. Thanks for having me on board for the day.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.